brothers and sisters and respected friends, it gives me pleasure to be here with you today. It's such a nice day. I'm founded. This might seem a little presumptuous for a younger brother to speak to an older brother and sisters on the brotherhood of Christ or duties of brothers and sisters, but as always, when I give more or less an exhortation, it's more for myself than it is for anybody that hears it, because I think I'm a pretty weak vessel most of the time. But in the reading, James was addressing the 12 tribes. And to start with, he tells them to do not err, my beloved brother. Now this is just exactly what James felt. He felt that they were his beloved brother. He had great love for his brothers and sisters, such as we should have. He told them, do not err. And this is one thing that we always have to be on the lookout for, erring, or going about our lives in a manner that wouldn't be pleasing to God. He tells them that every good and perfect gift is from above, something we need to be reminded of very often, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It's not as as if we were working for a mortal and we were receiving a wage from him, because something of this nature, there is a great variableness in the procedure here. Something might happen to the man might promise us something, and something come up, he can't do it. Well, that isn't the way it is of these gifts that we receive from God. Whatever God promises us, he will give us. Of his own will begat he us with a word of truth. Well, how did he beget us with a word of truth? By our believing the word of truth and being baptized. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. A type of first fruits such as Christ was. Christ is one of the first fruits of God. He died and was resurrected. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Now this sounds easy when we say it, but I think it is one of the hardest things that we can do, is to be swift to hear. In other words, when somebody is addressing us, listen to what they're saying, not thinking of what we're going to say back to them. That we should be slow to speak. Don't try to jump right in the middle and maybe jump to a conclusion and assume something before the man has finished speaking to you, possibly, or woman, either, whichever the case is. And then slow to wrath, and this is something else that is very hard for us to do. Mortal man is more or less generally prideful, and we have all seen people who were not slow to wrath. They would get hot-headed in a minute. If somebody just in the least manner crossed their paths, they were ready to fight. We have seen little children that when they're told to go do something, stamp their feet and get mad. Well, these are all things we must overcome. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. If we follow our natural tendencies, we aren't following the paths that God has set down for us to follow. We aren't following the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted words, which is able to save your souls. We should put off the nonsense and the foolishness of the world. When we come into the name of Christ, it's a serious business, and we should go about it in a serious manner. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. It isn't enough that we get out and come to church on Sunday and hearers only. We should be doers. And this is another thing that it sounds easy when we say it, well, we're going to do right, but things will keep coming up which make it hard to do right. Our natural tendencies are leading away from God rather than to it. And if we do these things, we are deceiving our own selves. Now we can put on an outward show and fool other people, but we can't fool ourselves. We know what we're like inside, and God knows what we're like inside. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. In other words, when natural man looks in the mirror, he sees his outer countenance. He doesn't stop to look deep inside and see what's inside. And in so doing, he can walk away from that mirror and he forgets what he looks like. He actually does. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If a person truly examines themselves, looks deep into themselves, he will be a doer of the word and not a forgetful hearer, and this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, but bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now this is more or less what we're going to speak about this morning, is keeping himself unspotted from the world. In 1 Peter 2, verses 10 through 18, I'd like to read. And this is Peter speaking to new members of the church in the area that is today known as Turkey, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and not for the praise of them that do well. And for the praise of them that do well, excuse me. For so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put to silence ignorance and foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Now here we have several different thoughts which we should think about, bring to light possibly. He's talking to a group of people who were in times past were not a people of God. They were Gentiles. They had not obtained mercy, but now they have obtained mercy, so they are brothers and sisters. He tells him, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And this is exactly what fleshly lusts do. If we follow fleshly lusts, they will lead us astray. Having your conversation or actions honest among the Gentiles. In other words, have their actions be strictly honest with other people, and not to possibly be honest with fellow brothers and sisters, and forget about the world. Why, we can do them any way we want to. That's not the attitude. We have to have our conversation or actions honest in the sight of all men, that they may by our good works not be able to speak evil against us. And then submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. And here we're told that besides obeying God's law, following God's commandments, we're told that we should obey the ordinances of man for the Lord's sake. And if we come on down here, we find that or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. We find that actually, if we obey civil law, it is a protection to us. And that's the way it was meant to be. That if we do well, we won't come under jurisdiction. We won't be tried to be persecuted and thrown in jail. But actually, if there is evildoers about, they will be. So it's actually a protection to us. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing he may put to silence ignorance of foolish men. Now, there's nothing more frustrating to, you might say, a busybody type person who would like to say bad things about us than if they can't find anything bad to say about us. And if we safeguard ourselves by doing right to every man, this is a great frustration to them. They can't come out and say, well, he did this or he did that. As free and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. And that's one thing that we're very lucky to be living here in the United States. We do have great amounts of liberty. We can follow our own religion. We can follow our own lines of work. We have most liberty of any country in the world. For instance, in Russia, they're trying to run the religion completely out of the picture. They say there is no God, they're strictly atheists, and we are very fortunate to be living here in this country. And we should use our liberty to be the servants of God. Once again, he says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, and this is something that we'll keep running into, this love the brotherhood. We should have as deep a feeling for our brethren in Christ as we do for our actual blood brothers and sisters. Sometimes this is maybe a little hard for us to attain because the feeling of general feeling of a brother and sister is pretty strong. Fear God, honor the King. While we're speaking about love, we should go back and pick up Matthew 22, verses 37 and 28. Pharisees were asking Jesus, they were trying to trick him. They asked him, which was the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus answered, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. All through the Bible we find that it speaks very strongly of this love which we should have for our brethren and sisters. And like I said, it maybe it's not one of the easier things to attain to, because maybe one particular brother and sister has some habits that we don't like. Well, we shouldn't look on the superficial things, on the light surface things. We should go down deeper than this. And if we do, I'm sure we'll find a sister and brother that we can all very deeply love, as we should. Then we'd like to go to Romans, the 12th chapter. And here it's Paul speaking to the beloved of God in Rome. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He tells us not to be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't let the mode of living and the speed of living of today shape us and form us, but we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And how would we go about renewing our mind? By following the Word of God, by reading the Scripture and studying it, letting it shape us and form us, not letting the things that surround us shape and form us. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, this is something else that it's may sound like it's something easy to do, but I don't think it always is. For a man not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we are many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, or all members don't have the same capability. Some brethren can get up and speak, and some can't. Some can give prayers, and some can't. It's just sometimes against the nature of a person to get up and do some of these various things. But there is a necessity for all. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith. Well, now here I think he's speaking to the Spirit of God that was given to the disciples. Now, we don't have the Spirit of God like they did to prophesy and so on, but he has given different individuals different capabilities, so we should use them to the best of our knowledge. On ministry or service, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. Now, this is something that a lot of brethren can do that possibly can't get up and give a lecture. They can teach a class, and they might do a better job of teaching the class than another brother that could get up and lecture. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Let it come honestly and truly from the heart, not just a surface thing. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, and this isn't referring to business of the world, this is referring to our duty, our duties to God. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Now this is another thing that might seem we can take light, but to be patient in tribulation, that isn't something that's easy to do. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Now, here we might say, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things. In other words, mortal man, in his natural state, would like to be a ruler in most cases. He would like to have power. And that has been the thing that has brought about most world wars. Some man wanted to rule the world. But we're told to mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Now, that doesn't mean go out here and find the lowest type individual that we can. That doesn't mean that at all. But what it's referring to here is condescend to men of low estate as far as the worldly things are concerned. If we would associate with a person who was trying to attain this high position, we'd more than likely be doing wrong because we'd be going along with his thoughts and his actions. And they would definitely be wrong in God's sight. But if we condescend to men of low estate, why, more than likely, they'll be the type of person that God would like. And they would be the type of person who followed God's laws. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written. Now here, this isn't a very good rendition in the King James. It sounds like it's telling you to get mad, but it isn't doing that at all. But rather give place unto the wrath of God, is what it should say. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. That bears it out. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him, for if thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And as we've said before, if we don't give anybody a chance to talk bad about us, it is very frustrating. So be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. By our actions, we will actually overcome it. And then Romans 13:1-10. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whoso therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in the same, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is fulfilling of the law. Now, once again, it's bearing out that we must follow the ordinances of man as well as the ordinances of God, for the ordinances of man are ordained of God. If we go back and study the Mosaic Law, we find that a lot of the modern civil laws that we have governing us today had their actual foundation in the Law of Moses. A lot of the laws of the state and so on all go back to the Law of Moses. And so there is, it says, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And if we resist civil law, we're actually resisting the ordinances of God. And then it comes on down and tells us, for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. This actually applies to taxes. I think we can apply it to the present day. Owe no man anything, which is the way we should strive to do, but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Again, it's stressing love. And then on down are strictly God's commandments. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now we'd like to go back to Peter, 2 Peter 1, 3. Talking to those who have obtained the like precious faith. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that he hath called us to a glory and called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to the temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. So these are many of the things that a brother or sister should attain to, the knowledge, temperance, and I think this means temperance in all things. I think probably we have seen in a few cases where a brethren has gone into studying the scripture maybe too deeply, that he has tried too hard to figure it all out, that he can actually get off of the track. I think that we should have a blending of our study. I think we should study deeply, but I think we should blend it with other things too, so as we won't possibly fall into this category. And then if we want to go on and say, why should we do these things? We can continue by reading 8 through 11. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. How would he be purged from his old sins? It would be by the waters of baptism. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what we're working for. Now we'd like to turn and read 1 Corinthians from 1 Corinthians. I'm being a little awkward here. My book keeps trying to slide down on this thing. Paul speaking to the Corinthians, or the people that are in the area today known as Greece. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. But if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered to sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, in one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us to God. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which has knowledge, set at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died. And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against a brother, and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Now here, Paul was speaking about the eating of these meats that were used in conjunction with idol worship. And I don't know the exact practice of the time, but there was markets that sold these meats. And it was common practice for the people there in this area to buy these meats and then eat them, and it was all worked up in conjunction with their worshiping idols. And what Paul is speaking about here is the fact that if a person with knowledge ate these things, it wouldn't make them any better, it wouldn't make them any worse. But the thing that it might do is it might cause a weaker brother who saw him to do this think that he was worshiping this idol through his actions and cause him to fall away. That's the way that he would offend his brother. I think we can apply this to our day and time by concerning it with participation in false prophet organizations. And this doesn't mean to be necessarily a denominationally backed group, but merely an organization that's primarily composed of members of one of the other doctrines which are contrary to the one true gospel. And it would more or less appear that if we supported them, this organization, that we would also support their theories. And this is something that we wouldn't want to happen, because in this day and age, we might be doing the same thing that Paul was speaking about back here. If he ate the meat of the table, he might cause a weaker brother to fall. If we more or less go along and belong to some of these modern-day organizations that are predominantly composed of people of a different denomination, we might cause a brother to do the same thing. He might be led astray. And even though that we know better, a weaker brother could be led astray possibly by this and by observing our actions, or an outsider who might be interested in our truth might be swayed, because they would say, well, they don't even know what they believe. They're over there with those people. And 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says that we should even abstain from the appearance of evil. Not only not to do evil, but to abstain from the appearance of doing evil. And that is quite an undertaking there. Matthew 5:14-17 is our next reference. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now this is a direct commandment of one of the things that we should do. We should set our light out where other people can see it. And this is something that I believe is going to get harder and harder to do as the years go by. People have less and less, you might say, an interest for doing God's Word or even reading God's Word. It's something that will get harder and harder to do, but it is a commandment and we should do it. And then Matthew 7:6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Even though we are commanded to let our light shine, we should use a great amount of discretion in where we let it shine. Now, we all know people that if we went up to them and tried to teach them the truth, it would be exactly what it says here in Matthew 7:6, we would be casting our pearls before swine, that they would actually ridicule us. And I think any time that we allow ourselves to be ridiculed for what we believe, I believe it's an error. I think that anybody with ordinary common sense can tell when a person would receive with serious thought the truth. And maybe we can't get it right every time, but I know a lot of cases. I've been around men of the world, people of the world, and they said and did things that I didn't approve, and I tried not to be around, and I tried not to listen. But I also knew that if I went to talking, that I'd just get myself in more trouble than I would if I just turned my back and walked away. And I think that's what it's speaking about here, that we should be careful about where we do cast these pearls of truth. And let's go back to 2 Corinthians 6:14-16. Fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now here I think we should pay a special attention to the word unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. Now I know lots of brethren would never go into partnership with anybody that wasn't a believer. Now I'm not saying they're absolutely right, I'm not trying to say they're absolutely wrong, but the thing we have to look out for is being unequally yoked together. Now, in my knowledge, a team of oxen or a team of horses that are unequally yoked, they generally do this for a special reason. They put one ahead of the other. One is the leader, and he leads and the other follows. So if we're unequally yoked with an unbeliever, we would be following the unbeliever. And this is something which it tells us not to do. And common sense also would tell us not to do it. And where he's speaking about this agreement of God with idols, at that particular time, I think there was a great number of craftsmen that were producing little idols in conjunction to the idol worship of that day and time. And they sold these for a great amount of profit to people who would come to the cities in their participation in this. And actually, I believe what he's referring to here possibly would be that possibly some of these people, these craftsmen, were producing these idols to be sold. And he's telling them that it wasn't right for them to do that, that they couldn't follow the word of God and still manufacture possibly these idols and be selling them to people who were using them in their worship and still go along with their belief in God. And if we want to follow this out, we can read the reason why we shouldn't do these things. We shouldn't be unequally yoked, and that we shouldn't have communion with darkness and Belial, by reading the 17th and 18th verses. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And that's what we're trying to attain to be a son and a daughter to God. We still have to earn a living. We still have to go out amongst the world every day in lots of ways, but we should be very careful. Now let's turn and read Ephesians 4, verses 1, 2, and 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now this is Paul speaking to the Ephesians. It's located in where about West Turkey would be today. And he's telling them that we should walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. That we should follow God's commandments. That we should do it with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. If we would, a lot of times when we maybe get upset with a brother or a sister, or possibly our own brothers and sisters in the flesh, if we would stop and think how things look to them instead of just how it appears to us, I think that we would maybe not be so apt to get put out with it. And as it says, forbearing one another in love, that we should try to understand their side of each situation as these situations arise. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. If we are trying to keep unity, and if we're trying to keep peace, we'll come a whole lot closer to attaining it than we will if we're just looking around and trying to pick a fault out in everybody we meet. And then verses 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That if we could attain to this type of forgiving, it really would be a major accomplishment. If we could forgive one another as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. I'd like to read, we just quoted, I think, Luke 16, verse 13, where it tells us that no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We can look around us in everyday life and see people that just live for money. That's actually the only thing they can think of is money. They think it can bring them everything. But we know very well that money can't bring in everything. We've seen more than likely probably people that are rich get fatally sick and die and never get the use of their money. And if we are trying to serve money or just chase money, we cannot serve God because we won't even have time for God. And then Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. Brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Now this is something a little bit different from what we've been talking about as far as the duties of brothers and sisters go. And this is concerning troublemakers in our own midst. It tells us to avoid them. Ones that would cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. And it tells us that a person that is of this type of nature is generally trying to serve their own belly or build their own selves up. And that they're not serving God. Told back here where we should love one another, but here it tells us that we should allow no false doctrine, which is something we can't do. And then 1 Corinthians 5, 11 through 13. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be fornicator, or a covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, and if such a one know not to eat. For what have I to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Here we're told not only to avoid a brother who would cause divisions and make offenses contrary to doctrine, but to put away from us, or out of us, brethren who would fall under the category just mentioned, that we actually should put them out. James 2, verse 26, it says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. This shows us that we must work in our faith, that we just can't read it and talk about it, but we must actually get out and work and do the things that we believe in. I'd like to read in Philippians 1, verse 27. Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now this is Paul speaking to the Philippians, and he's telling them, only let your conversation or actions be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether Paul was actually there with him or not, that they would do the things that they should do, and that he may hear of their affairs and know that they are standing fast in one spirit. Now there are many more scriptures that we can use for examples of the way that brethren and sisters should live, that the way they should conduct themselves. But I think that we have used a good example. And when we study these writings of God-inspired men, we find that they were written to the Jews, the Philippians, the Ephesians, the Corinthians, Thessalonians, the Romans, peoples of different nationalities, practically all of the world at that time. But there was one thing that all these people had in common. They had come in contact with the truth and put on the name of Christ. Now this associates them with us and us with them, as we are all brothers of Christ. So therefore, these words that were written to them some 2,000 years ago, more or less, apply to us today just as much as it did to them in that day. They apply to us because the truth is still the truth today, as it was nearly 2,000 years ago, or as it should be. we do have to allow for the changes of living, habits, the customs, and the differences of expressing ourselves in our speech. But the truth is still the truth. I'd now like to close by going back into the chapter that we had for the reading and reading verses 14, 15, and 16. First chapter in James. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren.